Good morning. Again, thank you, Josh, for those songs. Thank you for all the men that have participated in our worship so far. Can you hear that? Can you hear this microphone? Move it up a little bit. Yeah, okay. There we go. Even Kurt Jensen can hear us back there. So if he can hear, you can hear. We've got a couple of prayer requests that I'd like to address. Cena is fighting really bad allergies with all the snotting and blowing I'm hearing in here. We get that one. Daryl's going through Kleenex he needs his own box up here. Teresa is having some swelling in her feet, and we need to remember her. That has to be tough. And we remember Pete. He lost an uncle this past week. An uncle passed away, and he was very close to him, like a father figure, it says. And we need to pray for him and the loss at this time. And also, Jeff and Kelly Craig wanted to thank everybody for the prayers for their son Cody, his wife Brittany, and she's expecting a baby at this time, going through some issues. It's still a very high-risk pregnancy, but a lot of improvement since a week ago, so we rejoice in that. Let's go to God on behalf of these people before we get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. Dear God, we ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, the things that we do, attitudes we have, and we pray for forgiveness. Dear God, we ask on behalf of our brothers and sisters right now, we ask that you continue to be with Jeff and Kelly's son and daughter-in-law and the development of their baby. We ask that Brittany's health will continue to be good and no problems with that, and let the baby develop strong and healthy. Dear God, we also ask that you be with Cena. Many of us are dealing with allergies and colds and so forth right now. We ask that you be with her. Be with Teresa and whatever issues she's having that's causing her feet to swell. We ask that gets taken under control and we'll get back to normal soon. Dear God, we come on behalf of our brother Pete with the loss of his uncle. Losing loved ones is never easy, especially ones that are so close. Dear God, it's instances like that that reminds us all to always position ourselves with you to where we are prepared, because at any given day, that could be any one of us. Dear God, we ask that you continue to be with us in our worship to you. We ask that you unite us as brothers and sisters, and we thank you for your word. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. We have a couple of announcements real quick. I want to remind everybody that this coming Thursday is the Serving Our Kids Day, where we bag the food for the kids that are underprivileged in Las Vegas, and that's always a good time of service and fellowship for us. And that's this coming Thursday at 6:00. And then a week from today is the area-wide singing, and that's here at South Valley, and that starts at 2:00. It'll run from 2 to 3:30. Wanted to remind that we're hosting it, so let's try to have a number of our people here. Again, we welcome you visitors. We're very glad, very fortunate of our location, that people that are staying on the Strip or close to the Strip have such a easy location to get to worship. And we're glad that you took your time to worship with us. We're going to look at our lesson today, titled The Walking Dead. Don't you ever feel like that some days? You know, I know some of you, you know, Barbara's nodding her head. I know Dick and Van says sometimes just to be here is a thumbs up just to get her with all the aches and the pains and age and all that creeps up on us. But not that kind of walking dead. I remember when I was, about Chase and Calvin's age, there was a movie that it was being shown on TV. It was a rerun called The Night of the Living Dead. Scared me to death. Just as their age, I'm thinking, how am I going to fortify my room to where, you know, can I move this bookcase or the chair in front of the door to keep them? I can climb out the window if need be. I was scared to death. And then a few years ago, there was a pretty good hit TV show called The Walking Dead about zombies that if they get close to you and they bite you and stuff, you become a zombie. And it's just like, you know, but there's a lot of walking spiritual dead. And that's what we're going to look at today. You know, the people that are walking around, that we work with, we see at the grocery store, maybe strike up a conversation with them while we're pumping gas, maybe even worshiping, going to worship. They're walking, they're talking, they're going about their daily lives, but spiritually, they're dead. They're alive. They're breathing. But they're spiritually dead. This is a misprint. 3 and 2 look so close alike. It should have been verse 27 and 28. My dumb fingers typed 37 and 38. So you might want to, on your outline, correct it, because I hate mistakes like that. I go over those things probably at least 5 times, and I missed it. Anyway, Matthew 23, verse 27 and 28, it reads, and Jesus is speaking here, says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Jesus pulled no punches there. He's speaking to them. He's speaking to us to make sure we're not like that. In Revelation 3, in the letters to the churches of Asia, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know your works, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. We as a congregation, we as an individual, never want that to be said about us. Starts with us individually, but as a congregation, we collectively, we don't want to be like the church in Sardis, that the sign says we're a church of Christ, that there's a church of Christ here, but it's just full of dead people, the walking dead. It's God and Jesus that brings us life. And they're the only ones. A lot of people search for it in so many different ways, through power or through riches or so many of the ways of the world. Pleasure. That's not life. God and Jesus are the ones that brings us life. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 5, it reads, "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were many, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' So I answered, 'O Lord God, you know.' Again he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live.'" It is God that brings life. God that brings life to us, but God that can bring life to bones, dry bones. It's God. In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said that "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." God's come, God sent his son, and Jesus has come so we have that life, that spiritual life. People that don't even believe in God have been given a life on this earth for a given period of time. But Jesus has come that we may have spiritual life and have it abundantly, an eternal life with him. The Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, "As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." One of those ways that God has given us that life is through the knowledge of him. We were talking this morning in Bible class about how God has always given us his word. He has done it in various ways, but we have his written word today that we may know what he requires of us in order to have that life. In John 11, this is taking place after the death of Lazarus. And Lazarus had a lot of friends. Jesus was one of them. Mary and Martha were heartbroken at the loss of their brother. And Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." He's talking about Lazarus, but he's talking to us too. We're all going to, unless Jesus comes while we're still breathing, we're all going to face the same fate that man has faced since the beginning. We will die. But yet we don't have to worry about that because with Christ, we will live. We will live with him eternally. Everybody is going to have an eternity. Everybody. Good, bad, believers, unbelievers. Where it's going to be is up to us. Where it's going to be, everybody's going to have eternal life, either heaven or hell. Ephesians 2, verse 1, Paul wrote, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." That's that walking dead. That we were dead in sin. Living, breathing, walking around, but dead as a doornail spiritually. And he, Jesus, made us alive. Romans 6, Paul wrote, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at it that we've died to our old self, but we're alive in Christ Jesus. Paul gives the comparison of being transformed in Romans 12. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We don't always have to stay what we were. We don't have to stay in that position of being dead, that we transform ourselves to life through Christ Jesus. When we're baptized, we raise up a new creature with Him. In 1 John 5, verse 12, says, he who has the Son has life. We've got the Son. And it says, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's as plain as day. It's black and white. That those of us that have the Son of God, Jesus, in our life, we have life. And if we don't, we do not have life. John 5, 21, as we're closing down here, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom He will. That life comes through His Son. And closing up, Jesus will say in John 5, 24, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. We don't have to be that walking dead like so many people are. But it boils down to a choice. And here in John, just a few verses later, Jesus is telling the same group of people, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. That's sad. Jesus is offering it to people, but they're not willing. There was a period of time in our life, maybe we weren't willing, but now we are. And that's the good news about it. And it boils down to that choice, life or death. We can have life through Christ, life through baptism and being covered by His blood, or we can have eternal death and walking around like the walking dead. I'm thankful that God loved us enough to give His Son as the perfect sacrifice, a sacrifice we could not have come up with ourselves, to save us and to give us life. If you don't have that life, you can have it today. If you have not been baptized, we can do that. If you need to repent of sin and get back on the right track, we'll urge you to do so today. If you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, please let us know. We are a praying congregation and we will pray with and for you. Whatever your need, please come forward while we're led in the invitation song that Josh has picked out. Let's stand and sing.